Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alex Smith is who player profiler.
Which is, again, that's one where you say it and you're like, Alex Smith. But Alex Smith was a good NFL quarterback. Like, he really was. And I know it's like, oh, he throws behind the sticks and blah, blah, whatever. Alex Smith on a rookie deal, a great pick.
Number one, Trey Lance. I've seen everything I need to see.
Hey,
I've seen what I needed to see. Immediately, yes. Immediately, yes. I've seen what I need to see.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's Swolecast here in RotoGrinders.com. I'm David Kitchen, joined by Davis Matic. You can find him on Twitter at Davis Matic. Peter Oberzet, you can find him on Twitter. What is it, Peter?
Come on, Kitchen. My mentor doesn't know my Twitter handle right off the dome.
No, is it at underscore?
At Kitchen's protege.
And then we also have our special guest, JJ Zacharyson, who conveniently is not going to be on the show for today's quarterback show. So I don't know what to tell people. This is going to be as action-packed as you think it's going to be.
He gave the excuse of what is the content creator equivalent of saying my dog ate my homework, which is that my power is out.
I thought this exact same thing as far. And that's why I actually messaged him and I said, I understand. I said, I'm giving you the out for today's show. Next time, just tell me you don't want to do it, though. And he said, unless you want me on some LTE trash. And I said, never. And then he goes and screen caps the AT&T internet outage.
Wow. The lady doc protests too much, methinks.
And I said, well, your Photoshop skills have actually gotten better. And I said, I'm just kidding. Tell them that you're out here hustling, trying to bet on yourself. I could just take some of his prospect guide.
Gronk probably just cut his internet.
And then I sent a text to our buddy Reeps, seeing if he wanted to drop by, just completely ghosted. I mean, I sent that text almost 3 hours ago now. Haven't heard from Reeves. I mean, the Swolecast is just down tremendously right now.
Tremendously bad.
But actually, it is a representation of what we're about to talk about. And that is this year's quarterback class. Because, Davis, can you remember like a quarterback class as bad as this class that we have right now?
I mean, what the 2013 class, that was the year EJ Manuel, I think, went 16. Was that the Geno Smith draft class where Geno fell to the second round? 2013 NFL draft. So the quarterbacks who were drafted in that draft, we had EJ Manuel go at 13, Geno Smith go at 39. Mike Glennon, 73 overall. Ooh. Matt Barkley in there, and then a bunch of memes. You know, Ryan Nassib Landry Jones, guys who we're going to be watching this weekend in the USFL, basically.
Is the 2013 draft the worst draft in the history of the NFL?
Well, I mean, Eric Fisher is pretty good now, but pretty bad. The Rams took Tavon Austin.
Tavon Austin
overall. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of these guys. Let me sort by AV and see who is top. So can this is a great question. I'll extend it to top four. Can either of you guys guess who one of the four guys in career value from the 2013 draft class?
Well, you say that, it's going to be like way on.
Well,
a better question would be, can you name one person from the 2013 draft class?
Was it Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell is up there. He's number eight. Number one is fourth round pick David Bakhtiari. Number two, Travis Kelce. Number three, DeAndre Hopkins. Number four,
so Keenan
Allen.
This draft actually is not that bad. You just have to scroll down.
All the first round picks were bad, other than Lane Johnson and Eric Fisher, pretty much.
Honey Badger, third round pick. Keenan Allen, third round pick.
And Davis is Eskimo bro in this draft class.
Was he really? Was he 2013? Yeah. Wow.
29th overall to the Vikings.
Bakhtiari, juice check. Like, I mean, yeah, you've got.
Well, clearly Pro Football Reference's weighted approximate value is way skewed because it doesn't have the greatest kick returner in NFL history as a top five pick in this class.
You know, the second round is wild. Like you said, listen to this set of picks here. Justin Hunter, Zach Ertz, Darius Slay, Gio Bernard, Manti Te'o, Geno Smith, someone named Tank Carradine, and then Robert Woods. I mean, there's some longevity to those names.
Yeah, the Titans choosing Justin Hunter over Robert Woods, but then getting Robert Woods back. That's poetry.
Wow. Yeah, where is that narrative? I mean, this has come full circle for Robert Woods.
You know, now the Titans, we'll talk about quarterbacks in a second. As you know, it's only a 5-minute segment. But the Titans' big thing recently has been A.J. Brown. And like, are they going to trade AJ Brown? And it is like this huge ordeal.
Where is this coming from? Why?
I think it's got to be coming from like the Jets camp. And now like the Titans are having to put out things.
What if it's AJ Brown's agent and he just doesn't want to be a Titan anymore?
Well, his agent is also, I believe, Metcalf's agent and someone else coming up for the next class as well. But you have these wide receivers that are just getting paid very, very handsomely. It's like, are they worth it? And now it's like, because AJ Brown's a second round pick, you can't tag him. And so you're going to have to pay him next year. And people are wondering, like, are these wide receivers now going into like the overvalued territory? Like, do you think Steph Diggs was overpaid, Davis?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Although I think the offsetting parts of the contract make it more like a 2-year deal, which feels more accurate, right? Like that feels better for it to be a 2-year deal. The thing that seems bizarre is that they're choosing to maybe not get the cost controlled labor of a first round wide receiver and instead choosing to pay Diggs all this money. And I guess it makes sense given that Josh Allen's mega contract either kicks in this year or is about to kick in. But I would maybe rather have like Jameson Williams for like $800,000 a year than Diggs for $20 million a year.
Yeah. And so that's what the big thing is. Now people are all about like the trade, either you trade up or you trade to get more picks. The less need F them picks mantra. Now what people are thinking about, just like win now. But I feel like that only works for the Rams, Peter.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you see the recent circling back to as how this pertains to the Titans? Did you see the recent ESPN mock draft that had Treylon Burks to the Titans? And then the immediate question is that imagining a world where Treylon Burks is, you know, filling back in for AJ Brown because he's not there? Or do we all of a sudden have one of the most fun wide receiver duos in the league with AJ Brown and Treylon Burks?
Yeah, no, I've seen like, the Titans are good. If they get anyone other than a wide receiver in the first round, I'm going to be very upset. But have you messed with PFF's like mock draft tool?
I've been using the Ringer's draft tool just because it's so sleek to navigate.
Okay, so like you can't, Davis, have you used any of these mock draft tools where you can be a team and either trade back or take a pick?
Yeah, I've been doing it for the Cowboys, trying to find ways to get them to take like six wide receivers.
But yeah, when some of these mock drafts and even doing it yourself, like some of these have like eight wide receivers going in the first round. Like yeah. Everyone's going for wide
receivers. Everyone needs a wide receiver. And the complicating factor is that like four teams own like 20% of the picks because there are so many teams that are picking multiple times. The Eagles picking multiple times, the Saints picking multiple times, the Packers, the Cowboys picking multiple times. And all of those teams have wide receiver as a need. And it's kind of just a matter of do any of those teams take double wide receivers? Like, do the Chiefs take Sky Moore and Christian Watson? Do the Packers take Drake London and Chris Olave or whatever?
Well, do you guys think too, this shift, because we're coming out of this free agency where all of these superstar wide receivers got mega extensions and you could make the claim for a few of them, like Davis did with Diggs, that they're overpaid, that like the new meta is the same way people were wanting rookies, quarterbacks on that rookie contract that now they're just shifting that we want the stud wide receivers on that Jamar Chase
contract.
Cause then they're not going to be affordable if they hit, once they hit the open market.
Did you see Brandon Cooks deal?
Yeah.
Well, they can do whatever they want. Like the Texans are competing against no one. Like they can give however much money they want, whatever. So I don't think that's a market maker. But the more interesting thing is that we haven't even seen how insane the wide receiver contracts are going to get, because all of these guys are on their third contract. Tyreek, third contract. Adams, third contract. Diggs, third contract. When Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, when those guys go to get their second contract, I mean, Jamar Chase could legitimately get like $35 million guaranteed per year, I think.
Yeah. So you've got, and like the whole tagging thing, you're not going to be able to tag receivers unless you really want to pay up. But that, I think that's what AJ Brown, Metcalf, and Debo all have the same agent, and they're all going to be up for, like, they're going to be basically reset the market with some of these salaries. So yeah, like if you had to build, Davis, and you could go back, would you build around someone who's a little more affordable, like Derrick Henry in a running back, or would you choose a high price wide receiver?
What question? How did Derrick, Peter, can you track this for me? How did Derrick
I'm just
Henry
talking about like a generational talent like Derrick Henry, or even a Travis Kelce that's not as expensive as his wide receiver. And just
I was just talking about this with Karain yesterday. I'd take Kelce over anybody.
Kelce over the field.
Or Kittle, right? Because the elite tight end changes everything on how a defense can defend you. It makes you better at running. Obviously, you know, Kelce is this hugely important part of the passing game. Like our the thing Karain and I were talking about was how we would take, if we were doing a historical all-time NFL draft, we would have Gronk as the first ever, like as the first pass catcher taken. And I think the same, I mean, like there's an argument to be made that like the field stretching stuff that Chase or Jefferson can do is more valuable, but the elite tight ends who are like crazy good run blockers and amazing wide receivers, it's like they play two positions well.
All right. Fun segment. I mean,
I had a blast.
That's the organic content that we weren't even planning on, but here we are. Also, if you'll go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, leave a comment. Yeah, Peter, go ahead and...
Yeah, just smash it, guys. We're just begging you to smash it.
Yeah, and the comments also have been pretty good. People enjoyed the Robin show from Pat last week. So...
What superhero would you compare Pat Karain to?
I don't know. I guess with ship chasing, he might be Robin.
No, he's a Peter Parker, dude. Karain is such a Peter Parker.
Captain America, I'd say.
Not the direction I would have gone, but could be.
some of the comments, Davis, we do need to update people. Not a hernia.
No, I have. What's is grade one the worst or grade three the worst? I forget.
Are you gonna say whatever the worst is?
No, whatever the best, least worst is. I have an oblique strain, which is
a pulled muscle.
Yeah, which doesn't feel very good, but is much more preferable to spending my entire summer recovering from an outpatient hernia procedure.
Frankie Paleo said, I like how Davis was more concerned about his three golf trips than his actual wedding in regards to his maybe hernia.
Oh, well, you can get married with, like, what's a hernia going to stop me from getting married, bro?
Davis would wheel up there in a wheelchair if he needed to, but you can't take away the golf trip.
No.
Hey, Davis is going to be on wheels one way or the other, either skateboard or a wheelchair.
Pete, my friends want to know, are you coming to the golf trip in May?
Dude, I've been trying. I mean, you're killing. I would have 100% been there if it wasn't Mother's Day weekend. That's just, it's made it pretty tough.
Yeah.
I get it.
And also, it is a little hard for me to get to where you are. I was looking at what airport I would fly into.
You'd have to rent a car for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go somewhere in the tropics?
No, we're going to Tiger Woods' golf course
in
Arkansas.
Cam went there and was freaking out about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember seeing his posts from
that. We're playing there Friday morning and then another nicer but not as nice course the next day.
I can't go either, Davis, because, you know, Mother's Day and.
Do you golf? Like, do you golf, bro?
Top golf?
I've golfed. Wasn't there a story about a company golf threesome or foursome? You guys had a tournament.
I know.
A basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've golfed with Dan. He's really bad.
Dan Bach is bad?
I thought he was good.
No, not Dan Bach. Mr. Tuttle 05.
Oh, okay. I was like, this is a bombshell.
No, DB is good. Okay. Me, the funniest foursome you can imagine. Me, Tuttle, CSU, and Brandon Adams playing a par three night golf course in San Diego where they have it like lit up with floodlights at night.
Yeah.
And Peter and Brandon Adams getting into a big argument about gambling. Like just like the most classic, like it was perfect. Yeah.
All right. Jeremy Nelson also said, I appreciate the start time and having this available by Wednesday morning. Thanks, Devin. So yeah, you're welcome, Jeremy.
Yeah, and you know, thanks to the producers for all these sick superhero graphics they're overlaying in these various spots of the video to, you know, hold your attention.
Yeah, they did good. They did good. Really good. Someone said, wow, Soccer Dave always been this smart. So all right, keep those comments coming.
Are we live? Are we live right now? Or are you
No, these are last week's comments.
He's reading last week.
Okay.
We need some podcast comments because we haven't had one in a really long time. So leave us a comment on iTunes, please. All right, let's move forward. Peter, were you going to say something?
No, I was just noticing your decaying shirt that now just says Swole.
This is so comfortable.
I've been meaning to bring this up actually while we're talking about Soccer Dave shirts. I've been just trying to clean up my collection of clothes because I have way too many. And I'm wondering if I should do a giveaway with all the Fantasy Insider shirts that I have because I don't wear them anymore. And I have a feeling that those would be pretty appealing giveaways.
Tokenize them.
I don't, maybe. Probably not.
Put it on the blockchain, bro.
Seems like
Swolecast
like
Metaverse. Dude, let's build out
you. Okay. Here's my question though. And just be honest, be real. Are you giving them away because you've got too many clothes? Or are you giving them away because they might have shrank in the washer in the past few years?
Oh, none of my stuff from college fits me anymore. But yeah. even if they did, I can't imagine a scenario where I'd want to wear them.
A Fantasy Insider shirt?
Yeah. Where am I wearing that?
Anywhere. It's like nostalgic.
No, it basically would fall in the ironic t-shirt category.
Yeah, and I don't really like t-shirts with graphics on them anyway.
Well, look, every shirt you wear has a graphic on it.
No, I wear hoodies that have graphics on them, but that's a different thing.
That's where you draw the line. T-shirts. Do you have a Cool Cats hoodie?
What is a Cool Cat? Like
Davis,
like,
isn't a Nine Lives Lounge member.
No, he's not.
Not a Nine Lives Lounge member.
Okay, let's get started with quarterbacks in this year's quarterback class. I also want to talk about first year heading in their second year quarterbacks, because that actually is a decent conversation. I feel like this quarterback prospects conversation is going to be really short and to the point. So Davis, give us an overview of these QB prospects.
Malik Willis could be really good. Else. Could be really good. Could also be a Josh Rosen style flame out. I am in the camp of thinking he's quite good. And I would be, if I was the, you know, GM of the Panthers or the Lions or whatever, I'd be willing to get fired selecting him in the top five picks of the NFL draft.
Ooh.
Everyone else, there was a rumor this morning that the Panthers are wanting to maybe take Matt Corral or Kenny Pickett at number six. Those are not guys I would be willing to get fired for if I was a quarterback. And Corral, to me, is more interesting than Pickett because he can move a little bit, right? You know, everyone remembers some of his runs. And he played in a system that I think 10 years ago would have been a negative on him, right? Like that system they play at Ole Miss where they spread it out. But like actually now that's kind of the offense that a lot of these NFL teams are running is three wide receivers as their base personnel, no under the center type stuff like that. You remember like when spread offense quarterbacks coming out of college, you'd be like, well, he can never play in a pro style offense. He doesn't even know how to take a snap under center. I mean, how often are guys taking snaps under center? So, and then Howell seems like budget, like dime store Corral. So not that interested in him. Ritter is maybe more interesting because he played at a higher level. Like his teams were really successful and he ran a 4.5 at the combine. But again, it's like, what am I really seeing when I'm watching quarterbacks in college? It's like, I'm not an NFL scout. I can mostly just look at the data and see that these guys all seem fine. And for fantasy, Malik Willis will be really good. But that's really all I got.
Peter, you have to make a bet over under 2.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round this year's draft.
Smash the over.
See, I was going to say it should be the over, but like looking at a lot of mock drafts, I mean, it's a good line because you look at a lot of mock drafts and you see just those two guys. But I mean, I'm even looking, like, I'm just wondering if this is swung too far with the wide receiver thirst and being like, I'm looking at the Falcons with pick 8, the Seahawks with pick 9. And you're telling me there that they wouldn't be better off just taking a stab on a Malik Willis or a Kenny Pickett and just seeing if they can hit on it. We know the value if you do hit on it. We all also know that QB evaluation is really hard and the NFL continues to miss on it year after year. Like, I just don't know how those franchises can afford not taking a quarterback, even if they aren't as high a floor as some previous years.
Why did the Falcons need a quarterback?
They need one bad.
Marcus Mariota started 9 games for the Tennessee Titans and Kitchen is like, that's my guy forever.
It will be fun if he does have like any sort of resurgence this year. It'll be fun.
You know what, Pete, you're right, because the risk reward, and as we just saw looking back at the 2013 draft, teams miss on these first round picks all the time. Like there's kind of this assumption made that the quarterback is the risky pick, but the outside linebacker you take at 13 instead, like that guy's a guaranteed hit. And, you know, really that's not true. Like hitting on a quarterback is, I guess, I mean, this is probably not 100% true, but my guess is that hitting on a quarterback is not that different in terms of hit rate as hitting on another position there, and hitting on the quarterback is way more valuable. If I'm wrong and Kenny Pickett is really good, then you turned your whole franchise around with the 13th overall pick or whatever.
Kenny Pickett just seems meh though, right? Like there's nothing that he does.
I mean, he's pretty accurate, and he played in that air raid system, the perfect pass at Pittsburgh University, the Pittsburgh Panthers. They did the same thing, which again is much more desirable to NFL coaches now than it was even 5 years ago.
Well, that And that's why, I mean, I guess, Dave, are you making the argument that Kenny Pickett is just kind of like more of the same of kind of the conservative game right. manager type quarterbacks that they've had with Bridgewater and Darnold? Whereas why not flip things on its head a bit and grab Malik Willis and see if you can actually hit on a high upside quarterback? Yeah.
Yes, but Pickett's comparable, I just typed it up on Player Profiler. It's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I mean, getting Tannehill as he exists now is a huge win where they're picking.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between what are the Titans paying Tannehill, like $25 million or something?
Less than that, because they got a pretty good deal on him. But yeah, he got a rookie contract, but and then you just load up everywhere else.
It's like if I was to say that you get Kirk Cousins for a rookie scale contract at 13, you got to take that guy, because there's a huge difference between paying Kirk Cousins $40 million and what does the 13th pick make, like 700,000?
The other side of this is just like, why not just draft one of these wide receivers that you know is going to be good?
But that's what I'm saying, and then
draft your quarterback next, like the Falcons. Like, it doesn't matter who they draft at quarterback, they're gonna struggle, right? Like, whereas if you tank,
but you can say that in both directions, because why not just take the quarterback now? If they suck, you're tanking, and if they don't suck, then you just hit your franchise quarterback, and then you can just take another quarterback next year if they suck.
I guess my point is, like, this year's strength is the wide receiver class. Next year's strength might be the quarterback class.
And there is a supposedly better quarterback class coming next year, although that's kind of what everyone always says. I mean, the Alabama kid is really good.
Bryce Young. Yeah. You just tank for Bryce Young. And then, yeah. So, all right. You mentioned Ridder. What's his comp?
I mean, it would depend on who you ask, right?
Alex Smith is who Player Profiler.
Which is, again, that's one where you say it and you're like, Alex Smith. But Alex Smith was a good NFL quarterback. Like, he really was. And I know it's like, he throws behind the sticks and blah, 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 whatever. Alex Smith on a rookie deal, a great pick. Great, like Desmond Ridder on a rookie contract for the Pittsburgh Steelers or whatever. That's a win for them if he's Alex Smith.
The Ringer draft guide says shades of Daniel Jones, but in a good way, which is pretty much Alex Smith.
I think, and again, I don't know anything. Like, I've watched Desmond Ridder play in college like 4 times. But I'm intrigued by any quarterback of his size and mobility, really.
Okay. Let's talk about second year quarterbacks. Yeah, do it all over again. Who are some of the busts, Davis, that you already are out on them?
I'm not out on any of them. I think there's even road to redemption for Zach Wilson, because there's just such that permeating jet stinkiness. And I think they should be a little bit better this year. I think they probably are. I mean, all the Jets fans in my ads are telling me they're taking a wide receiver at 4-10. They're telling me they want to take Trey McBride at 34, that whatever their second round pick is.
Some mocks have McBride going third round, like early third. McBride's the stud tight end out of Colorado State.
Stud might be a little bit generous. I don't know. I don't know if he's a stud, but I'm not out on any of them, honestly. And this feels like this is, I will get so flamed by this, but the one who I feel has the narrowest range of outcomes is Mac Jones. Like, I feel, and maybe that'll be wrong. Maybe Mac Jones will look much different in an offense with some speed. The Hayden Winks line that I steal on all these shows is that if all the NFL teams were to do a 53-man roster relay race, the Patriots would have lost. They would have come in last place. And I think that's true. And so if they change around their offense, and if Jonnu Smith plays in a more interesting role, and Devontae Parker is good, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong. The one who I feel the most queasy about from my original position is Fields, because it seems like the Bears just don't think he's any good. And I was doing this show with Corrine yesterday, and I just Google newsed Pep Hamilton quarterback, nothing. There's not one puff piece, not one. You know, Pep Hamilton's really excited to do with Justin Fields what he did with Justin Herbert. You know, we think we can get Fields, you know, X, Y, nothing. Radio silence, and that does not inspire confidence at all.
Peter, reorder the quarterbacks, first five quarterbacks, how you would draft them this year. Put on your GM hat.
All right, as an NFL GM.
Yes. You are Peter Overzet, the NFL GM. You've got Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. So those are the first three picks. And then Justin Fields was at 11. Mac Jones was at 15. So reorder those guys.
Man, it is so tough because it's flat. But here's my definitive ranking.
Yeah.
Number one.
You can't go back. These are etched in stone.
Number one, Trey Lance. I've seen everything I need to see.
I've seen what I needed to see. Immediately, yes. I've seen what I need to see.
Number two, Justin Fields. Number three, Trevor Lawrence. Keep the faith. Number four, Zach Wilson. Number five, Mac Jones. Number six, Davis Mills. Number seven, Kellen Mond. Number eight, Kyle Trask. I am out on Kyle Trask. I mean, if he can't beat out a 49-year-old Tom Brady to be the starting quarterback, when's it ever going to happen?
You know what? That's the order I would have them into. And Nick Rudman, I don't care. You know, come at it's like
Rudman's going to be so pissed.
It's like, and totally the thing is like Mac Jones could be a guy who wins 10 games a year with them for a bunch if the roster gets better and Belichick's a good coach and he executes the offense. But it's like, I do feel like that wind game against Buffalo kind of told me what I needed to know, which is that in any context of adversity, Belichick was like, we got to ask this guy to do absolutely nothing when the conditions are not good.
You would have Fields over Trevor Lawrence too, Davis? New coach in Jacksonville, fresh start.
So Trevor Lawrence is this super interesting case of the film watchers basically just told us this guy's the best. There's nothing to worry about there. And he didn't ever, he actually got
worse.
It wasn't
even like this guy's the best. It was like, this guy's the next Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, like generational talent.
The interesting thing at Clemson was that his best season was his freshman season in terms of, like touchdown to turnover ratio. And it's not that he was ever bad, but like his final season at Clemson, he threw for fewer yards, threw for fewer touchdowns. Like, and yeah, of course you can be like all these horror stories about Urban Meyer and Daryl Bevel and whatever, but it's like, how much meaningfully better was he than Justin Fields, who people are like, he's the worst, ship him off to Siberia, he can't play. And no serious football people like Greg Cassell or Dan Orlovsky or whatever,
Gil Brandt,
whatever, these TV football people, these big NFL guys, they're just be like, nope, Trevor Lawrence, he's great. There's nothing wrong. It was all on everyone else. The line sucked. The wide receiver sucked. And it's like, well, yeah, all that crap was true for Fields too, but there are no Fields apologists left outside of dynasty fantasy football nerds, but everyone is like, Lawrence is fine. And maybe he will be fine, right? I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing that makes, I think, ranking these quarterbacks so hard is all of them either have major variables that have changed, or we just literally do not have enough information on them. I mean, the least black box of them all is probably Zach Wilson, right? Like, I feel like we kind of know what he is and what that offense is going to be. And now it's just, can he take a second year leap?
I think that's I think Mac Jones too. I guess the question for Mac Jones is, can he be a guy who adds value, or is he just like an Alex Smith without the mobility? Right. Cause people do kind of forget that about Alex Smith is like, he ran and avoided sacks and stuff.
Right. And I think the Mac Jones stuff, and like you were saying, it doesn't have to be a diss on him. You could definitely see him being a better version of Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Patriots being
totally
the West version of the Niners, the AFC version of the Niners, where he's just good enough when the running game and the defense is built around him to and take he, you to the Super Bowl.
And maybe even a version where that doesn't have the back-breaking interceptions that Garoppolo right. does. Because that's that, like, I mean, shit, you could win a Super Bowl with Mac Jones on a rookie contract if he is a better, if he's like a non-interception throwing version of Jimmy G. Like, I mean, probably not in the AFC. I guess maybe that's the other thing that colors the conversation is the mountain that Zach Wilson and Mac Jones have to climb is so much higher than the mountain that the NFC, that Trey Lance and Justin Fields have to climb, because the four best teams in the NFL are probably all in the AFC.
Davis Mills, your namesake, is he a starting quarterback in 2023?
Probably not.
Okay.
Because there was this
sell like, high in dynasty superflex leagues. Then
I have him in the league that you play in. So the thing about Davis Mills is that there was kind of this reimagining of like how good he played because he was doing it with such crappy teammates or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was still outside of the top 30 of quarterbacks in EPA per play. Like he was not like, you know, like rookie or Tony Romo out there or anything.
Okay. Peter, you ranked him at number 6.
Yeah, I mean, he did surprise me, right? Because you assume...
He surprised everybody.
You assume he's anus.
Right. Yeah, and that, again, goes back to the thing about how bad we are on quarterback evaluations. And he ended up in a good spot where he was able to actually see some reps and get on the field. Like, we don't know anything about Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond because they didn't have a chance to play any games.
Yeah, Davis took that job from Tyrod. Just took it from him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the retelling of Tyrod is like the stable hands as a court. It's like a bit much. It's like Tyrod's fine, but you know, we like who is Tyrod? He's on the Giants this year. He's going to start a couple games for
Tyrod.
Giants.
Though did have a legit start to that season, and then he got hurt.
And you remember the narrative, right? I mean, all the best ball bros, people weren't drafting Justin Herbert because Tyrod was going to be the quarterback that entire season. It was like this was going to be a redshirt year for him.
And before that, it was Baker Mayfield, which actually now doesn't turn out that well.
But. Oh, man. Where does Baker Mayfield play this season? Did Baker Mayfield trade request his way to the relaunch of the XFL?
No.
I mean, after we see the first week of this USFL product, we're going to be begging for Baker Mayfield to be a quarterback.
Everyone's so excited on Twitter right now. Like, people are like, it's going to be great. And it's like, dude, I just need everyone to know it's going to be bad. And it's going to be worse than you imagine. It's going to be a lot of 2-yard carries.
Fisher's team is going to be very fun to watch. Nostalgia.
Did you see the opening over unders for all these games over the weekend? They're all at 55.
Well, they all got bet. They're all the way down at like 45 on those sites now.
They got bet down 10 points. Jeez.
So, Fear My Turtle, who we know, he basically said he's one of the best niche sport players out there.
I would say the best, actually.
The best. Okay. Yeah, and he works for rotogrinders.com. And so he basically told us a week ago, he's like, I'm not really sure where to put this. I can't put this, but I'm just telling you guys now, all these bets are like 10 points too high on these over under. It's ridiculous. Like, and Vegas and got that one wrong.
They weren't even available for most people. I think Fox Bet was the only people.
Fox Bet was the one that was available for.
The same thing happened with the XFL. They all opened up outrageous. And then by the middle of the season, they were like 37, 38.
And they were still hitting under because really what the problem is with these leagues is the quarterback plays is not great, but it's the offensive line play. That's just, it's so bad because any offensive lineman with any semblance of skill is on an NFL roster. Like, you know, they're not like Donald Parham and PJ Walker and Cam Phillips. Like, those guys made it to NFL rosters. And I think some defensive players too. There were not any offensive linemen who made their way from the XFL to NFL rosters.
Yeah. It's, and if you, there's this, this guy's doing a podcast series, RJ Young. He interviewed all the coaches and like the sound bites from every coach are like, we're going to run the damn ball. Just trying to pound it, you know.
Wait, are you grinding USFL podcasts?
That was my first video on my new channel, was a preview of the USFL.
I know, like, I know that you're like previewing it, but like, are you deep into like the team sites and like fan sites and stuff like that? Like,
you know, maybe I let some other people do the heavy lifting with curation. But yeah,
is there an athletic site for the
USFL? Yeah, it's Justin Freeman taking his family on a vacation to go scout out the training camp.
Yeah, I mean, well, you guys remember the XFL, right? Where all the quasi beat reporters popped up out of the woodwork. And it was like, they weren't even in that town. They were just internet beat reporters that decided they were going to cover the St. Louis Battlehawks. And everybody's
like, is so-and-so playing? Is so-and-so on the field?
And he's like, let me do a Twitter search for you and then pass it along.
I still have my Battlehawks merch.
They're a fun team. It's going to be fun to watch Jordan Ta'amu.
That was the other thing I saw, is Ta'amu was not even drafted as a starting quarterback in this league. He was the 12th quarterback taken.
Yeah. And who was it? Yeah, Shea Patterson was the first overall quarterback to the Michigan Panthers.
Who is not good if you've watched him play. Yeah.
Was he a Michigan guy?
Yeah, he was. I believe he is still loves Bases Twitter avatar.
Yeah. Well, from Kellen Mond and Tip, how do you say his name? Ta'amu?
Jordan, yes. Ta'amu.
Yeah, to Matt Corral. I mean, these are all names that people tune into the Swolecast for. The deep dive.
This was a good show.
Yeah, it like abbreviated. Actually. Yeah. Davis, I felt like you talked a little too much.
Well, that's what you get when I'm not on my phone. You got to choose one or the other. You can't get both.
Fair. All right. Did you like this show? Let us know in the comments. And yeah, we'll do some final thoughts. Peter?
Yeah. Why don't you rank the 2021 QB class for us in the comments? How would you reorder them? You like that, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because people like the Derrick Henry stuff. Someone said last week that like Silva would be hammering, like be on the bandwagon for Derrick Henry going into the Hall of Fame. I could just see Silva and me being, you know, gray hairs and just campaigning together. Like the good
was it when we had Silva on the show last year? Was it you or Tuttle that weren't there? Were you gone the Silva episode?
I was gone. Yeah.
All right. So you guys haven't had a chance. Maybe one of these weeks you and Silva just do a 2-man 60-minute swole cast where you guys just slurp up all the big dog love.
Yeah. The big dog. Who calls him the big dog? No, who calls him King Henry? That was a great bit when Davis didn't know his name. All right. Final thoughts, Davis.
Final thoughts. Excited for the NBA play-in games. It's gonna be good. Excited for my move on NBA Top Shot to get rid of all my moms from teams who are not in the playoffs to just really focus in on these challenges.
Yeah.
Love Roham. Always have.
Are you getting, you're still not getting any all day moments?
It just doesn't do it.
Remember
for
when
me.
I said the move was to buy all the like AJ Brown and the, those guys, like I said, it didn't do it, but that was the move. Now all those.
It's hard to know what the move is when the supply and the roadmap can change at a moment's notice.
Can you explain this to me? Like I just maybe, and maybe you feel the same, Peter, like all day, it's just like, it leaves me very uninspired, but I still get excited about Top Shot all the time.
We've talked about this. It's the curation of moments. I do think they're doing a little better job on the upcoming and the rewind of the curation of moments, but yeah. I think it's still going to come down to displays, people with nice displays displaying their moments. Did you see the mini Jumbotron that someone installed in their house?
No.
You go to mini jumbotron.com and it's like a mini Jumbotron that you put in your game room. Like it looks pretty cool. Stuff like that needs to happen.
Are you an influencer for mini jumbotron.com?
No, I'm not.
It's pretty cool. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. Mini Jumbotron, if you're looking for a podcast to sponsor, I think the Instagram account has like 128 followers. Then let us know. We can definitely give you.
Yeah. If you end up watching the Swolecast on your Mini Jumbotron, let us know.
yeah. Imagine like a swole cast mini Jumbotron. All right. Davis, did you get final thoughts? Peter, did you get final thoughts?
I feel like this was kind of all my final thoughts.
Yeah. All right. My final thought is sometimes you're going to be faced against with adversity, requests, people asking you to do stuff. Maybe you don't even want to do it. If that's the case, just tell them that the internet's out for your area and problem solved. So
I also did get a text back from Rich. He was recording another podcast during the show. So he was tied up.
Yeah. One of those 4-hour marathon ones. Got it.
One of the 4 hours. Yeah.
All right. That will do it for the Swolecast. Let us know what you think. We'll be back next week. Let's talk wide receivers next week. No, not wide receivers. Let's talk running back and tight ends next week. Yeah.
The running backs are not interesting, so we need to have a secondary topic.
All right.
The most interesting thing about the running backs is that 4 of them used to be linebackers. There are multiple running backs with more career tackles than receptions in this class.
All right. Are Mooncats due for a rebound? We talk about that and running backs on next week's show here on the Swolecast on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.